always record episode 136 with Andras Jones and Sylvie Sovina.
So, I'm Andras Jones, and I'm here with Sylvie Sovina, the creator of the 8x8 deck, a divination deck based upon the I Ching that she created for the last Radio 8-Ball show, the one with Chris Sand, a.k.a. Sandman the Rapping Cowboy. And at that show, everyone in attendance got one of the cards. And she's here in the well of sync, and we're going to be discussing her deck. So, Sylvie.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your deck.
Cut.
There's no cutting.
You can't do that to me. You can't make me laugh.
What?
Cut.
There's no cutting.
You can't make me laugh right from the start.
Well, so tell us about your deck.
Well, it's called the 8x8 deck. It's a 64 card deck, I Ching deck. I don't know. This makes me really nervous. I can't do it.
Sylvie is a little bit nervous about being interviewed.
Don't.
So, when you say it's an I Ching deck, when you say it's an I Ching deck, what does that mean?
I'm more into creating art as opposed to talking about my art, so this is new for me.
You're doing great. So, what do you mean when you say it's an I Ching deck? Because the I Ching, you either throw sticks or draw sticks.
Yeah, usually I Ching's done with coins, and there's not many I Ching decks out there. But I added
the trigrams
on there, so you can use it like coins.
So
but
I take it.
The fun part is that you get to have make your own interpretation with the art that I've provided on the card.
So the I Ching is pretty new to you.
Yes, but before when I was talking with you about it, I got three I Ching books, and I started reading about it and asking around town about people that were really into it, and I learned a lot in a short amount of time, and I got a lot of readings done for me.
So, what were the books you used?
I don't remember the titles of them.
Okay.
They were just like, one was an I Ching, I don't remember the one that you lent me. It was an older book. That one was really dense. What was that one? So, it's called the I Ching, or Book of Changes. And this one I referred to more just like the meaning of the cards. I would get really deep into this book when I would... Each time I would come to a new card that I was inspired by, I would read in this book about it. That one was much more dense than the other ones. And then I went to Last Word Books and talked to this guy, Charlie, and I found this one that was like a little bit more simple. And then that was like the I Ching Handbook. And then the most inspiring one that I used the most was the I Ching coloring book from 1970s. It's really old, and it's beautiful, and that's the one I used the most. But there was actual pictures for each coin or card, and
It's not each. The coins are determined the broken or solid lines.
Yeah.
There isn't a coin for each trigram.
There isn't.
No.
Okay. Yeah, don't put that in there.
I think it's clear. No, I think an important part of this is that you don't pretend to have any particular knowledge about the I Ching.
I don't, but I feel like I have way more knowledge about it every single day. I learn more about it every day.
And this is something that there are people who have devoted their lives to studying this.
And those people, I mean, there's a few people around our town that are just crazy about it, and they teach me a lot about it.
You pretty much learned about the I Ching through this project.
Yeah, I mean, I've done tarot readings before, tarot cards. I have my own other decks that I love. But I'd never done an I Ching anything. Nothing. I mean, but then one day I had one done with pennies at the Brotherhood. Like, just pennies, and then somebody knew how to read that. And then you're the one that brought up I Ching to me more.
Yeah, I had intended to make just tear out a chapter from an I Ching book, basically giving every person who came in one torn out chapter.
Well, what is your connection to I Ching and synchronicity? And Radio 8 Ball, why did you want to do that?
It was just another, with Radio 8 Ball, the idea is to draw in as many different popular, like, strands of pop culture with as many different strands as possible of esoteric, sort of magical, divinatory thinking from the ages. So on the Radio 8 Ball, the Pop Oracle Online, the songs correspond with the tarot card. When I realized that we were going to have 64 seats in the house, I thought it'd be really cool. Oh, 64 seats, that's the number of trigrams in the I Ching. If everyone got one of the trigrams as their particular I Ching reading during the show, that might add more context and just sort of turn up the heat on the synchronicity. So, yeah. And I've been playing with I Ching and tarot for most of my adult life. Although I'm also not a scholar.
The thing that I noticed about these cards was that while I'm not an I Ching master, I feel like there's so much magic involved in these. And they work. They actually work in this amazing way. I just feel really connected to them, and my family feels connected to them, and my friends. It just feels like they just feel really good. And they seem to actually work as a tool, life tool, and they're also just really, I think they're really beautiful to look at.
So people find your deck to be a useful tool that's good to look at.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
I don't know what you find funny about that, but you're obviously a very joyful person.
I am, most of the time.
So now we're talking about this deck, the 8x8 deck is what it's called, and we're coming up towards the end of an Indiegogo campaign that we've been doing to raise the money to print multiple copies of the deck and make it available to more people. And we've had a lot of people supporting it, but we have a bit of a ways to go. So we're in the middle of this campaign, or at the very end of this campaign, about 5 days left. So if you're listening to this now, if it's before November 8th, 2015, then come and support the campaign, and you'll still be able to go to our Indiegogo page after the campaign is over and still purchase a deck. So that's pretty cool. The big part of the campaign is that it's a art installation, and that every day we're revealing one card from the 8x8 deck. That's a total of 32 cards, of which I believe we've pulled probably 26, 27, 29, actually.
29.
And so what we're going to do now is we're going to go through the reading and sort of interpret what it has meant and where we're at. So it'll be a little introduction to the deck. And you can look at the reading as it unfolds, or as it unfolded, at the Sylvie Sovina's 8x8 deck Facebook page. So check that out, and the links will be in this podcast, these podcast notes. So, Sylvie, the first card of the reading was an interesting one. Can you tell us what it was?
It was number 13, Fellowship with Men.
Fellowship with Men in the Open. Success. It furthers one to cross the great waters. And in this card, on the picture, we have three men on a yellow background with a rainbow behind them. And can you tell us a little bit about the card and what you were thinking when you wrote it, when you created it?
That one was one that I had a little bit of difficulty with. I just kept struggling with the word men. Men, like, what? How am I going to represent men? And then I started thinking about the men in my life, or people that choose to call themselves a man. Or I just started thinking about giving a nod to people who, like, just the equality of all types of men, quote, men. And
can you describe the three men on the...
And I also... the first man is a man of color, and the second man is... I think of him as an uncle type. And then the last one is a nod to my grandpa. The reason I chose those two men is because a lot of times women that I know and my community and friends, we have a lot of trust issues with men sometimes. And I was thinking about three men in my life that I have felt very safe and comforted by and loved. And I also have a lot of beautiful gay friends that I adore, and I wanted to just give the men in this picture a look of, you don't know what their choices are in life, you know?
But you do put a rainbow behind them, which is sort of to
but
say
that,
a
which
bit
is
about...
a, which is like, yeah, let's just, that's the background nod, but also as many people know, I put rainbows in everything. It seems really specific.
Yeah.
But yes, so it's my grandpa Ira and my uncle Philip and an old friend. So.
Do you want to say the old friend's name?
Not really. But just the fact that these people have been in my life and I trusted them as men, that was great.
And. Oh, go on.
And I feel like when I made these cards, I did my own interpretation in a way where I did read up on each card. I did read up on each, what each one meant, but I would always take the inspiration from what I thought, as opposed to what, and maybe that, on a couple of cards that might have deterred people in a different direction than it should be, but that's why I like this deck, because it's unique. And, am I talking too much?
No, you're not talking. This is an interview with you.
Oh.
How could you be talking too much?
I don't know.
So, I had another question about that, which is, what do you think about that as the first card of the reading?
Well, I actually didn't think of it as a, I didn't think about it until I read what you had wrote about it, because you and I had joined together to make a partnership in selling this art. And I didn't think about it until I read your interpretation of it, and then I agreed wholeheartedly with what you said.
My interpretation on the...
on the first card, yeah.
Sylvie Sylvina's 8x8 deck Facebook page?
Yes.
Okay.
You were like, this is perfect. And I wholeheartedly agreed, but I didn't think that when I first got it.
You as an artist were having... because, as you say, a lot of women in this town have trust issues with men, and here you are... having fellowship with a man on an art project that's very close to your heart, and that could be scary or challenging or positive. And Lynn, the card seems very positive.
Yeah. And I ended up just like following what my heart felt, and I was like, okay, I'm going to trust you on this, and let's do this.
The line that struck me in the I Ching reading is fellowship with men in the open. Success. So mote it be, right?
Yeah.
So let's move on to the next card in the reading, and that is...
Number 59, Reuniting.
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 Nice.
Feels so good.
Dispersion. Success. The king approaches his temple. It furthers one to cross the great water. Perseverance furthers. So, with reuniting, can you tell us a little bit about the card?
Well, this was the second card I made from the whole deck. I didn't go from 1, 2, 3, 4. I went through and I would just pick one that just inspired me that day, you know. And so this was the second one I made. And a lot of times in my art, I add a lot of... red string to connect people. It's kind of like, I think of them as like heart strings or like bloodlines. Mm-hmm. And so I drew two birds flying towards each other with this red string wrapped around them. And I love this card.
Cool. And what did you think about it as the second card in the reading?
I thought it was interesting that it was the second card in the reading, because it was the second card I actually produced, made. So I liked that. It seemed to fit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess to my interpretation would be that so you have this idea of fellowship with men, the sort of the binary... and then the reuniting and coming together in a kind of, it's not either masculine or feminine, but it's some reuniting of that happens really internally. It's not about a man and a woman reuniting. It's about us reuniting our masculine and feminine to create the great work, in this case, the success of your deck.
Well said.
So, moving on to the third card. Hold on, the third day. And this began on October 8th. And so the reuniting was October 9th. And...
then we have number 61, Inner Truth.
Pigs and fishes. Good fortune. It furthers to cross the great waters. Perseverance furthers.
Well, I painted like a rib cage open with, you can see the heart through it. There's some veins kind of coming off the sides, blue and red ones. This card has been told to me by many that this one's one of the most powerful cards that people get and love. When I look at it right now, I think it's beautiful. But it definitely is something that you really got to look deep inside for.
Thinking about going deeper, so you've reunited the masculine and feminine, and now you're going even deeper into the actual inner truth of things. So that would be for the third day. So moving on to the next card in the reading for October 11th, we have
number 37, the family.
The perseverance of the woman furthers. So tell us about this card. It's got bears on it.
Yeah. So when I first started sketching for this one, I started drawing me and my kids. And then I started thinking about all different types of families of animals and chosen families and, you know. And then I started thinking about, yeah, I just wanted to, what I did was painted a bear with three baby bears. I just didn't want it to be a conventional family. And then when I talked about the card online, I was talking about my community as a family and how I love my community and how they've become more of a support than, like, my biological family, you know.
But in this case, these bears, do you think these bears are all related?
In this painting, yes. In this painting, it's a mama bear with her cubs.
So it really is, in this case, not about a chosen family so much as just a family of bears. Why is that funny?
I don't know. Yeah, well, I was thinking, I mean, I don't want to sound, like, negative towards men in a way, but I was thinking about how a lot of women I know are doing this alone, single parenting, and I was thinking how a lot of animals do it alone without a partner type of thing. That's what I was painting, or I was thinking when I was painting.
What do you think happened to the male bear in this picture?
Oh, he was probably out eating fish by the river.
Is that a euphemism?
Gosh. If you could see me, I'm blushing.
Let the record show that the witness is fanning herself with her card. 37, the family.
This is going okay.
So now we had fellowship with men, reuniting, inner truth, and the family for the first four cards. So we have this merging and then coming into the family unit, from inner truth out into a kind of another kind of inner truth, but that is outer because it's out in the world.
I like how it went from you, like, solely yourself, like, what, and then out to, yes, I like that, from inner to outer. That's awesome.
Yeah. So continuing through the reading, the next card is
number 47, oppression,
success, perseverance. The great man brings about good fortune. No blame. When one has something to say, it is not believed. So that's oppression as described in the I Ching.
Yeah, I have the painting that I made was a deer with one person of color's hand across his face, and then white.
You can say white.
Can I? A white person is covering the deer's mouth. And I don't know, when I made out, I was just doodling, and I liked how it came out. Because it feels like that when you're feeling oppressed. You feel like you can't speak, you can't see, you can't speak, you can't hear. It's just oppression. And it's funny, I got the card on what is considered Columbus Day, but we call it Indigenous Peoples Day here in Olympia. So I thought that was interesting.
It's interesting to me how you have, like, a lot of times if you were going to present oppression and you were going to show sort of race in the as a factor in the picture, it would show the, you know, one race oppressing the other. But in this case, the races who are usually oppressing each other are oppressing an animal.
Yeah. I wanted to take that in a different direction, yeah. That was something that wasn't... Also, I didn't want to... I had trouble with, like, not wanting to offend anyone with... Sometimes when you're making art, you don't want to have it be too offensive in a way. I don't know. But I also wanted to get my point across. That's why that's why I like to add animals in, because you can still feel like...
Because animals can't complain?
Like, right, but also, I mean, I've seen animals complain. Have you ever seen a monkey get mad?
Is that why you don't draw monkeys anymore?
Who says I don't draw monkeys anymore?
I haven't seen you draw a monkey recently.
Well.
And now that I know that you're aware that they can be...
I mean...
Critics, maybe that's why you focus on the docile animals, like, well, the deer...
Fine. Okay. I like to use animals because they're universal. And they're not a black person or a white person or an Asian person. They are an animal. But you can still get the point across with an animal. Okay?
Okay.
Number 19, approach.
Approach has supreme success. Perseverance furthers. When the eighth month comes, there will be misfortune. So, approach, which follows oppression.
Yeah.
And can you describe approach?
Well, the art is a owl coming right at you.
Like the Rush Fly By Night album cover?
Yeah, like that.
Were you inspired by that artwork at all?
No. I've been drawing... Owls are one of my favorite things to draw and paint.
In fact, it's the theme of the back of the deck.
Yes. And which, in the Synchronicity video, they talk about how...
the Synquick News video.
Yeah, they talk about how all owls are not what they seem... like they said in Twin Peaks, which I really liked that reference.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel connected to owls. When I lived in Alaska, I would see owls a lot, and I just think they're amazing animals. So, if I could, I'd probably just put a whole deck of owls out there. I love them. But anyways, so I had an owl just coming right at you, and what I was thinking for that one was, just like, how are you going to approach your day? How are you going to approach the people in your life? And that cross your path.
And in terms of this reading, what did you think about it?
I like that it came after oppression, because if you're feeling oppressed or... something like that in your life is happening, how are you going to approach it? Are you going to approach it with anger and frustration and fear, or are you going to go at it with a loving heart, you know?
Do you feel like the owl represents a loving heart?
No, I feel like the owl is approaching, like, say, it's dinner. a little mouse or something, and he's just going right for it. So it's like, boom, I'm going after what I want.
So is that the style of approach that you favor?
Yeah, I try to.
Just swoop in, go for what you want?
Yeah, because life's too short, and you gotta get what you... I mean, I do believe in going for what you want. I've tried to do it my whole life. I've been trying to work as an artist since I was a little kid, so... That's my dream, so I'm swooping in.
Okay.
Okay.
Swooping in with approach. Following oppression, the sixth card in the epic 32-day drawing from Sylvie Sovina's 8x8 deck. And now the seventh card
is number two, the receptive.
The receptive brings about sublime success. If you undertake something and try to lead, you go astray. But if you follow, you find guidance. Quiet perseverance brings good fortune.
So the art for this one, I rarely draw nude people, but I had this image in my mind of this woman just bursting out of the water with this like glowing orb of light that she's receiving, and I tried to portray that in the painting. Yeah.
And
so it's just the card for me means about being open to new ideas and change and being receptive to change in your life.
And what about in terms of this reading? So we've gone from oppression to approach. And now, in the last card, we were swooping in. We were going after, our approach was, almost, although it was receiving, it was getting something that it wanted. It wasn't really about being receptive so much as being very proactive.
I think being receptive is also just opening your mind and soul to other people and listening. Just listening is a good thing. Being receptive. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
In this reading, it does seem like there is a sort of a back and forth, a push-pull. And maybe that's just in our minds that we're making that happen.
No, I see that. I definitely see that. A push and a pull, and it makes a lot of sense for me.
Yeah. And during the course of this, have there been personal things for you that...
Oh, yes.
Is there anything in the reading so far, like, that if there's... And I don't want to pry, but if there's some... Is there some personal issue or something that came up that you noticed, how your personal life was reflected in the reading?
Well, I don't know how to answer that one right now. I'm sorry. It's just the way that the cards went. I wasn't even thinking when we started that it would be an actual reading of 32 cards. I was just thinking we were going to show each card. But then I realized it was becoming an epic reading. And the way that it told the story was exactly how I thought it would go. So, yeah.
But no juicy tidbits you want to share.
Maybe later. No juicies right now.
Okay.
Maybe the next card.
So moving on to the next card.
Mm-hmm. Number eight, Holding Together.
Holding together brings good fortune. Those who are uncertain gradually join. Whoever comes too late meets with misfortune.
Mm.
Holding together. Now describe the card.
Well, I wanted to challenge myself to... I had this image in my mind of two hands, and I do have trouble drawing hands and feet, so I wanted to challenge myself, and I feel like it turned out all right. There's a person of color and a white person holding hands.
Are these the same people from the oppression card?
I thought of it as like a way of connecting those two people. Coming together word as they were, which was a good way to have this reading progress. You know, the hands are separate in the oppression card, and then they're coming together.
Although in holding together is the 8th card in the deck, and oppression is the 47th card of the deck. So you could almost see it as they're holding together, getting together to make their plan to oppress the deer.
Okay. But no.
No.
Not in this reading.
Not in this reading, but because it comes after in this reading. So after we've been receptive, then we're back in a place where we can unite.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, is that what you got out of it?
I did get that out of it, but also I had a personal thing happen to me that when I got this card.
What was it?
Well, I told this story about how I was downtown with my kids, and there was this sweet woman that came up to me, and she just said, I can just see so much love around you and your kids. And I looked down, I was holding hands with them, and they're just looking up at me with such adoration. And she was right, and I remember just looking at my kids' hands, and then I got this card, so I thought of that. It was really sweet. A very sweet story.
Very sweet. And the next card?
Number 30. My voice is going away.
Drink some whiskey.
Number 31, influence.
Success. Perseverance furthers. To take a maiden to wife brings good fortune.
Some of those are a little...
Some of them are a little what?
Take a maiden to wife. I don't know what I think about that.
You're rolling your eyes at the I Ching?
Shh. Don't say that. Cut that part out.
Nope.
Yeah.
Are you worried that people who are really into the I Ching are going to be critical or of you and for...
Well, sure. I thought about, like, because the I Ching is it's ancient and it's Asian. Is that the right word? I just thought maybe when people would think I was culturally appropriating.
Well, you kind of are.
But I feel like there's a difference between... I've had this conversation a lot with people. Like, if you're painting your face like Day of the Dead and you're a white person, are you culturally appropriating if you're paying tribute to that cultural celebration? Or are you being, you know, a cultural appropriator? So, I was worried about that, but... I still am so passionate about them that that overrides it, right? This is getting hard.
So,
okay.
This next card, influence. Can you describe it?
It's got a green background and a young child with a TV for a head with gray, black and white, gray static in the screen, and then has his heart open on his t-shirt. And what I was thinking was, you know, what influences you on your daily life? And what I did was I went out that day and just walked to the library, and I counted how many people were staring down at their phones. And it was a 15-minute walk, and I counted 24 people, 16 of them were looking down at their phones. And then I realized I was one of them. So, that was an eye-opener.
Yeah, I think of this as probably one of the scarier pictures in the deck.
Yeah,
to me.
I saw that you said it was scary.
It looks like an image out of a horror film. You know, someone who's got a TV for a head. And then the idea that, we are all those people with those TV heads.
Yeah, if you go out anywhere, everyone's looking down at their phones. It's kind of, it's getting more and more like that. So I started thinking about my children and what they're going to be like, what technology will be like later.
If they're going to have TVs for heads.
If they want TVs for heads.
I think it's interesting. So this would be the ninth draw in the reading. So it's only, if you think of them as, because it's called the 8x8 deck, you think of them as eight, and then the second eight. This is the beginning of the second eight.
Oh.
And there, for me, there's a sense that, so we've done our, the first eight is really about the personal work. You go from fellowship with men all the way into reuniting, into the inner truth, and coming out to the family, and finding the oppression, and learning how to approach something, and then also to be receptive, and then you're holding together, and now you're ready to enter the world. And the world is this scary place full of influences.
Yeah.
And some of those influences can be good, and we are creating media that we hope will have a good influence.
Yeah.
But it all has an influence, and that's the beginning of the next chapter of this draw.
Great.
You're raising your eyes as if you'd never thought of that.
I did not. I enjoy hearing other people's interpretations. There's one woman that has really clung on to this reading online, and she interprets it in her own life every single day, and I don't even know her. And she bought a deck, and she's just really supportive.
Rhonda. We like people like that, like Rhonda K. Bachman.
Yeah, really awesome.
Wouldn't you like to be someone like that? Join the campaign at Indiegogo.
8x8 deck.
The 8x8 deck.
The next card is number 3, Difficult Beginnings.
Difficulty at the beginning works supreme success. Nothing should be undertaken. It furthers one to appoint helpers.
So the card is kind of one of the more drastic ones. It's a monkey, an ape. And he looks like he's screaming. And I just imagine this monkey being born about like a week ago, and he's just like just starting out. And that's tough. It's tough being born into the world, and he's screaming, and it's got all these colors just of feelings and emotions coming out of his head. And this one has been told many times to me that people want it as a tattoo. So I found that interesting. The card for me, I said, you don't have to be great to start. You just have to start to be great. So, you know, it's sometimes tough to start a new project or a new relationship or something new. Sometimes it's hard to just get moving. But once you do, greatness occurs. It happens. If you believe in it, I think it does.
Okay. And as far as this particular reading, we go from influence to difficult beginnings. And so if you think of this as the next eight in the realm of influence, we have this new beginning in this realm in which we don't have all of the say.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I'll tell my story. When I was a kid, when I was born, they say that I cried nonstop. They called me the terror of the nursery. That I was just, and all the pictures of me when I was a baby, it's just like, it's kind of like that monkey. Just like, and I always thought, like I made a mythology up out of it when I grew up, that It was the I was conceived in the summer of love, or in the winter after the summer of love, 67, and that by the time I was born, Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy, it all like the 68 was a bad year and a lot of bad stuff happened and people got shot, and so like there was a sense of like a bait and switch, like I was like as a baby I was like as a spirit I was hoping to come into this world where things were about to get much better, and in fact. They were getting much worse. And that's this mythology I made up for myself, but I always wonder if that's, like, for me, I feel like that's why babies cry when they're born, because they're, like, they're bait and switched into existence somewhere, like, somewhere they're, like, on the other side, there's like these travel agents saying, come to life, it's going to be so wonderful, you'll have, you can eat cheese and...
Pizza.
Make out with people, you know, yeah. Run and frolic, and then you wake up, and then you're born into the world. It's like harsh light, and there's all these doctors, and you can all of a sudden you can just tell it's a toxic environment full of weird laws and insurance policies, and you know,
yeah,
there your mom is, she's not too happy.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a tough road,
difficult beginnings.
Yeah. I think we all can relate to that card more than any.
Yeah. So.
So.
Next card.
Next card would be number 36, Darkening of the Light. I did drop the cards and mess them up, but I do have them here.
In adversity, it furthers one to be persevering. And I should notice... point out that we are having a moment of adversity because the cards were all in order and Sylvie just dropped them and they are now out of order, but luckily we have a record of it online. But it's interesting that we have this reading now. So can you talk about the darkening of the light?
I love this card. I know I really love this card. In fact, I'm working on a painting of that card. I do draw a lot of birds and owls, and I have one bird in this bright light blue bubble up in the, I'm thinking up in the night sky, and this other bird is inside of this dark, veiny bubble. And they're going towards each other, and in the middle of them is this rainbow of light. I love this card.
And is it the same rainbow as the rainbow from the Fellowship with Men rainbow?
They are all connected, yeah. But,
so this is more like a fellowship with birds?
Don't. yeah. No. I don't know. I love that they're coming toward each other, but they can't really connect yet. The dark with the light. I think I like it.
So for you, it's a merging.
A merging.
Of the darkness and the light.
Yes, and then when I was writing about it, I started quoting some music that was in my head during that time. Some lyrics.
Like what?
By the Indigo Girls. I don't know if you've ever heard of them. But they say, I'm trying to tell you something about my life. Maybe give me insight between black and white. The best thing you've ever done for me is to help me take my life less seriously. It's only life after all. And darkness has a hunger that's insatiable, and lightness has a call that's hard to hear. I wrap my fear around me like a blanket, and I sail my ship of safety till I sank it. I'm crawling on your shore. And this is a song that has been in my life for years. I used to think that I wanted to be a singer, and I would always practice that song. I loved it. I still love it. And I just felt like when it was stuck in my head during that day, and then it came on with that card... perfect.
Although, for the reading, it does suggest continuing difficulties. That we go from this scary influence of media to the difficult beginnings and the struggle with that to the darkening of the light.
So, the other thing I wanted to quote was this Cherokee proverb that says, "Inside each of us are two wolves. One is evil. It is anger, jealousy, greed, resentment, lies, inferiority, and ego. The other is good. It's joy, peace, love, hope, humanity, kindness, empathy, and truth. And the wolf that wins is the one you feed." So you can look at it as either dark or light. You're looking at it as a dark? Was that what you were saying?
I was saying that it's saying the darkening of the light, not the
lightening of the dark.
Right.
But still, I feel like it's a positive card when I look at it.
Well, that's interesting. Cherokee proverb, huh?
Yeah.
You're just culturally appropriating all over the place.
I totally am.
Woo! It doesn't matter. Take him from the Yi Ching, from the Cherokee. Who's next?
I almost said something really...
Cultural shopping spree. The Jews? Yeah, you're right. You're taking advantage of you're culturally appropriating me as we speak.
How?
I don't know. So I just love how you were like, you couldn't say Jews. You mean the Jews? The Jews?
Because every time I say it, you say I'm anti-Semitic. And I'm not.
Not every time you say Jews.
Yes.
That's usually the time people are least anti-Semitic.
Anyway, next card is number 56, the Wanderer.
Success through smallness. Perseverance brings good fortune to the wanderer. And who is the wanderer in this case?
I think that on this day, the wanderer was you.
Well, my own experience, I was leaving town that day when that pulled. But on the card, who is the wanderer?
It's a baby deer.
A baby deer. Which is called?
A fawn.
So what's a fawn?
It's wandering away from his mama. Looking for adventure. I quoted Pablo Neruda on that one. Did I say it wrong?
No, he's Pablo Neruda.
I thought, why'd you laugh? My soul wandered, happy, sad, unending. I like that one.
Speak up.
I like that one. I don't know what you want me to say. What do you have to say? You speak up.
Well, I think that it's interesting that this we have the deer who's the wanderer in 56, and we have the deer who is oppressed in card 47. What I'm interested in, as we're laying out all the cards, is where the different characters show up multiple times. So this is the second time a deer has shown up. Is it a deer in the oppression that's being oppressed?
Mm-hmm.
Not an elk?
No, it's not an elk. It's a deer.
I know. Stupid question. It's a fawn we have in The Wanderer. And I guess if you could... If you think about the difficult beginnings as being like a birth and the darkening, I'm still having a hard time trying to figure out where the darkening of the light fits in. But then, sort of in the same way that the family card, there were three cards at the beginning that expressed an internal process that was then born into the world, that in this case, the influence, difficult beginnings, and darkening of the light is like the internal process that leads to the birth of the wanderer, who then
Very nice.
Is off on their journey.
You're really good at interpreting these, Andras.
Thank you. So, the next card.
Maybe that's why you are so connected to this deck.
Yeah. Well, it was created for Radio 8 Ball, and when people create projects for art for Radio 8 Ball, I'm all about supporting them.
Number 51, shocking.
Shocking. Shock brings success. Shock comes, oh-oh. Laughing words, ha-ha. The shock terrifies for 100 miles, and he does not let fall the sacrifice spoon and chalice.
So the card looks like a really stormy day with some thunder and lightning, and there's a girl or a child in a corner covering her face as the lightning's about to hit their face.
So, is when you think of shocking, is it the lightning that is shocking the girl and the earth, or is the girl and the earth being saying, oh my, it's shocking?
No, I think of the lightning shocking the girl.
Right.
So, the I Ching is, I read about it, it said it was like the arousing in your life. Thunder. Just like, shocking doesn't have to mean something bad. It's just setting your life in order and examining yourself. And fear appears when there is a need to be jolted out of complacency. Boom.
So if the wanderer is beginning this journey, then there's the initiating adventure is the storm that meets this wanderer. And as you say, a storm, it depends on how you see a storm. Like if you are in the middle of a drought, a storm could be a powerfully good thing, but if you're in the storm, no matter what it is, it's going to be a bit of an adventure.
Yeah.
And this would have been October. That would have been the reading for October 20th. We're coming up on a very special day.
Halloween?
No. The next reading for October 21st, 2015.
Number 27. Corners of the mouth, nourishment.
Perseverance brings good fortune. Pay heed to the provided nourishment and to what a man seeks to fill his own mouth with. Now, in your case, you have it's not a man receiving nourishment, it's a woman on the card, whose nourishment is an apple in the face. Is she getting hit with an apple? Is this an action shot?
No.
No. She just has an apple for that's glued to her lips.
No.
Can you describe the card for us?
There is a woman in a white tank top with a green background, and she has an apple covering her face. She's probably biting it.
Is it like one of the... She's holding it. Looks like that one of those Magritte paintings with the apples in the face a little bit. I mean, it doesn't look like a Magritte, but it makes me think of that.
Yeah, but I think of her, her eyes are closed, and she's just holding the apple in her teeth.
Got it. So she's been bobbing for apples, maybe?
Yeah, sure. If you want to downplay it.
Well, I'm not downplaying it. I'm just... Tell me what it is. I'm just trying to...
That's what it is. She's holding an apple in her mouth, and she's tasting it. She's getting the nourishment from it. The doctor always says an apple a day. The doctor doesn't say that. People say that. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. When you think of,
Yeah, but who do you trust, the people or the doctor?
When you think about an apple, you think of it as like a perfect food unless it's mealy.
And worth assuming this is not a mealy apple.
No, this is a perfect, juicy, you know, nourishing
the,
and apple.
Are, is there a reference? Is there a biblical reference there? Like Eve and the apple?
Possibly. I did think of that, but I'm not a really Bible religious type person.
So that's the one thing you won't appropriate, is the Bible.
No.
draw the line at that. Was that the culture you were brought up in?
Yes. And so I have a lot of my own personal aversions to it. I mean, even at age 11, I was asking questions.
So if you see other people, like if you saw someone who was not from a traditionally Christian background appropriating Christian mythology, would you have a problem with it?
No. I can't. I don't follow. I'm not a Christian at all.
Got it.
I mean, I tried to be a Christian.
How hard did you really try?
Well, I would go to church camp every year, and...
Did you go to church camp, or did they send you to church camp?
Well, they sent me, but I also would go willingly, and then when we'd have the gatherings where everyone had to get saved, I would try to get saved, because I was like, if this is what it's supposed to be like, and you're supposed to feel better when this happens, I will try it.
Did you feel better?
I felt the same. I'm not trying to judge here, I just... This is the way I was brought up. I decided to go a different path of the way that my family wanted me to. They called me the black sheep. They even gave me a sweatshirt that had a black sheep on it and all these other white sheep. I wore it to every family reunion.
So they weren't above appropriating animal images either. You grew up in a culturally appropriative house.
Oh, I'm sure I did.
You can't help it.
I mean... Yeah. Anyways, with this card, I was thinking about, like, what nourishes you in your life. You know, what makes you feel nourished? Not just food. Obviously, we feel nourished by food and water and things, but, like, what nourishes your soul? And for me, I mentioned how I love loud music and how, like, just, like, dancing really hard with loud music in my ears just makes me feel alive.
And, of course, this was October 21st, 2015, the day Back to the Future predicted when Marty and Doc came to the future, arrived in the future. And it was the actual 30th anniversary, and there was all kinds of interesting stuff that happened in the realm of sync that day and that week. And so I just thought that was interesting. And that was something that Alan mentioned in the SyncQuick News video about this, that the SyncQuick News was that the Sync community was nourished at the same time as this card was displaying this nourishment.
Cool.
And continuing the reading, so once the Wanderer has gone through the shocking experience, then they can enjoy the fruits of their labor, be that wisdom, or just a big juicy apple, not a mealy one.
Mm-hmm.
Want to avoid the mealy ones. Although, if you were hungry enough, I'm sure a mealy apple would be pretty great.
You've still got vitamins in there. They're just not as satisfying. So the next card is number 7, the army. The army.
The army needs perseverance and a strong man. Good fortune without blame. So.
Yeah, so this is artistically one of my favorite cards. I think it's gorgeous to be, like, just to look at. I love it. Again, I went with birds, but this time with some black crows. And they're all wearing little beige uniforms all the same. And at first I drew the middle guy with a hat on, and he was supposed to be the leader.
With a hat on?
He had the hat on. He was the leader. Because he was like the...
Because he had his hat on.
He was the general. because he had his hat and he was like, and they were all following, but I decided to have the army be all one, so I erased the hat.
So he no longer has a hat on?
No. I think this one's about integrity, about having integrity. It's a personal quality of fairness that we all aspire to. I said, unless you're a dishonest, immoral scoundrel, which I thought was funny. Because nobody uses the word scoundrel anymore, do they? But I did. Doing the right thing in a reliable way. And then I listed all these songs that mention armies, because I thought it was so cool. I could think of like 4 different people that, like, some of my favorite artists that sing these songs about armies.
Such as?
Elvis Costello, Oliver's Army. I did Army of Me by Bjork. Kate Bush, Army of Dreamers, I think it's called. And then there was one by They Might Be Giants. I can't remember the title. Do you remember? No, it's not showing up. So.
Yeah, and I Am the Walrus.
In the I Am the Walrus, but I didn't want to. I just was thinking, like, people associate with armies in a lot of different ways. And, like, when you usually think about an army, you just, I don't know, I recoil in a way.
But in this case, you think of it as integrity.
Yeah, well, because the I Ching thinks of it that way.
And that's the strong man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or the strong crow in this.
Are the crows male crows? Or are they mixed?
They aren't any gender. They're crows.
They're just crows.
I think of how when you're like one time I was sitting and eating a burrito at this burrito cart, and this army of crows came and stole my burrito. It's like they had sat there on the telephone wire thinking about, how are we going to get her burrito? Let's do it together. And they just swooped down, stole my burrito, and took it.
With the same kind, with the approach of the owl?
Yeah, but the crows stole my burrito.
So it's interesting, in the deck, a lot of the action is coming from the birds.
Yeah, I think of birds as being so alive, and, you know, I long to be a bird myself. I'm hoping next time around I get to be one.
And in terms of the reading, we've gone from, so the wanderer goes through the storm, the shocking storm, finds nourishment, and I'm curious, do you feel like that the wanderer encounters the army or joins the army?
I thought when you started joining all the cards together, I thought of the wanderer as joining the army.
The wanderer joins the army.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I said that I'm the Walrus has army in it, but do you know, like, it's a little weird how it's there. Because I am you as you are me, and we are all together.
Yeah.
Are me, which is also kind of appropriate for an army.
Sweet.
You know, the dissolving of the individual into the group, sort of like the next level of, like, the next version of the family.
Mm-hmm.
The chosen family, as you would say.
Yeah. The Wanderer chose to be a part of that army. That's what I'm thinking.
Well,
what's next?
It's your deck, so you're the authority on your deck.
Well, thank you for that.
So, the next card is?
Number 38, Opposition.
Opposition in small matters. Good fortune. And the Opposition card, it's an interesting card.
Yeah.
Can you describe it?
In my mind, when I drew it, I was thinking of a human being walking in the forest, and they come across a cougar, or a black panther, actually, something like that. And they just stare at each other. And they, as they get closer, their eyes just meet. And that's how I wanted the card to come across, so I split it in half, one human eye and one animal eye. Green and yellow. Open, wide. Both the animal and the person are a little bit scared.
Really?
Yeah.
You think, which one do you think is more scared?
I think it's kind of equal in that card.
Is the person going to get eaten?
Probably. I'm guessing that's probably, I mean, that's the cycle of life, the circle of life. That if you do meet some scary animal like that in the forest, it's going to eat you. Or tear you up, at least. Because it's stronger than you. And he has way better survival skills than you do in the forest.
Not speak for yourself.
Well, I don't know what it would be like for you. But for me, I think he would eat me. Or they would eat me.
Because there'd be more of them? There'd be multiple panthers? No,
even if there was just one panther and one human being, I still think the panther would win.
That the panther and the human being would gang up and eat you?
No, that's not what I'm saying, Andras. What I'm saying is... that in most cases, if you're alone in the forest and you are meeting up with a panther and you're a human being and you don't have like a gun or anything, it's gonna eat you. He's gonna win. Claws, teeth, speed, strength, all these things that humans don't have.
Oh, I have speed and strength.
Okay, well, maybe you would win if you met up with a panther. I'm going to be honest here and say that I don't think I would.
So let's get away from the idea of the confrontation between the panther and the human. It's interesting that in this opposition you have, you know, you have black and white. In the same way that you had the holding together of the person of color's hand and the white hand and the oppression of the person of color's and the white hand, here we have...
I didn't even think of that.
The white and the black, and even that you chose Black Panther, which is like, was the militant, you know, black power movement of the 60s.
Whoa, which yeah.
Would probably frighten a lot of white faces as much as running into an actual
definitely,
Black Panther.
Definitely. That's really cool to think about.
And it's interesting to me that so once the Wanderer joins the army, they are immediately in opposition with the other. And in this case, you know, it depends which, you know...
The crows are also black.
So... in this case, the Wanderer has joined the Black Army. And you could just look at it as a chessboard. They've joined the Black Army against the White Army.
This is what I'm talking about when, like, the more you talk about, or we talk about the cards, or anyone just interprets them, the more is revealed, and it seems so magical to me.
And in my experience, it's interesting because that week, just what I was doing was I was on the day that we got the army card, I was at a friend of mine, Lily Hayden, who's been on Radio 8 Ball before. She was performing at a Black Lives Matter event in South Central Los Angeles, and I was there. And I was one of the only, other than the people who were performing, I was one of the only white faces on this campus, not just at this event. People kept coming up to me and asking me if I was the cameraman.
Or
the bus driver. Or like, what are you doing here? So it was interesting. I wasn't even connecting the racial politics. But it's now as I'm looking at the whole reading, I'm thinking, oh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I guess I kind of did go and join the Black Army for, I mean, I feel like I'm going to join one of the armies, I'd probably
be
in the
pro-social justice. You were the wanderer that started out on your journey to L.A. and ended up with the army.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast from Sync Book Radio. If you enjoyed this episode, there's so much more content waiting for you at thesyncbook.com. Tune into our other Sync Book Radio programs, including 42 Minutes, Always Record, The Marty Leeds Mathemagical Radio Hour, Pentimental, Synchronize, Sync Quick News, as well as our most recent editions, Fine Just Fine and Hypnosis. Our newest episodes are always free, and members get access to our full archive of over 600 hours. You'll find all of this, as well as our books and videos, at thesyncbook.com. I'm going to Wichita.